Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, fuckers. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Today's news item is from the New York Times, and it's entitled, Should You Choose a Woman Doctor? Studies show that female doctors tend to listen more, and their patients, both male and female, tend to fare better. Does gender matter when choosing a doctor? Whether your doctor is male or female could be a matter of life or death, a new study suggests. The study of more than 580,000 heart patients admitted over two decades to emergency rooms in Florida found that mortality rates for both women and men were lower when the treating physician was female.
What?
And women
Florida.
Who were treated by male doctors were the least likely to survive.
That makes a lot of sense.
That does hit me in a funny way. Earlier research supports the findings. In 2016, a Harvard study of more than 1.5 million hospitalized Medicare patients found that when patients were treated by female physicians, they were less likely to die or be readmitted to the hospital over a 30-day period than those cared for by male doctors.
Whoa.
The difference in mortality was slight, about half a percentage point. But when applied to the entire Medicare population, it translates to 32,000 fewer deaths. Other studies have also found meaningful differences in how women and men practice medicine. Researchers at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health analyzed a number of studies that focused on how doctors communicate. They found that female primary care doctors simply spent more time listening to patients than did their male colleagues. But listening comes with a cost. Doctors who were women spent on average two extra minutes or about 10% more time per visit, creating scheduling delays and putting them an hour or more behind their male colleagues by the end of the day. And so their article kind of goes on, but basically they're saying like women patients feel more comfortable with women doctors, so they tell them more and then they can kind of diagnose them better.
Yeah.
And then additionally, women just kind of listen to all patients. Women physicians listen to all patients of any gender better.
You know,
and and I think they're kind of also, it's money oriented, because it's like, yeah, women do make less money, but a lot of times people are like, oh, women make less money because we're paid less for the same jobs, which sometimes is true. But also, I think it's like just women are less obsessed with making money and sometimes more obsessed with like doing a great job at what it is that they're doing. So these women doctors are going to be making less money because they can take in less clients because they're taking longer. Mm-hmm. But they're also doing a better job.
So suck it, gents.
Just kidding. I have a lot of women doctors and I really like them.
I need medical insurance. Hey, today's show's sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. Can't imagine fitting another appointment into your life because your doctor's chiefs yapping because she's a lady. Well, with Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. No commutes, no leaving the office, and no judgments. To match with the perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/GWF, use code GWF, and get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's GWF at Talkspace.com/GWF.
Come see us live, Dallas, Texas. We're going to be up in ya August 23rd through 25th at the Addison Improv. And then Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We're going to be there September 13th, 14th, and 15th at the Comic Strip. Oh my God, I got the lowdown on that location yesterday. Yeah. And that mall is insane.
Is a mall?
There's a beach in the mall and there's a ice skating rink in that mall. So just make it a day trip and end it with coming to see the Bridget Bishop tour because it's going to be fucking phenomenal.
Atlanta, Georgia, October 11th through the 14th. We're at the Laughing Skull for all tickets, and we have a shitload more dates on our website, sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours. You can also go to sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/guyswefest because that shit is tomorrow.
Holy crap. We are completely sold out for the night portion, but we do have combo passes left and some date passes left. This day is going to be insane. mean, we worked so hard along with our amazing staff of fuckers. Thank you so much to everyone who's lent a hand or made a suggestion or given us an email address or a donation. This festival depends on so much. Yeah, thanks to everyone who bought shirts. Shirts are still up for sale, and those shirt purchases are helping us to run this so much. Like,
oh yeah,
I know you're like, people are bummed that you can't come, but those shirt purchases really, really, really are making a huge difference in enabling us to fork up the money.
Yeah, we got to fork up the money for the venue ourselves. So it's nice to have like funds coming in that we can utilize to actually make the event happen. And during the day, there's going to be all kinds of amazing booths. I'm so excited. My trainer Tally is going to be there, and she can analyze your movements and tell you how to work out better and do nutrition shit. I'm so excited that she's going to be there.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, I'm going to run through the day because I just want to give this a really hard promo since this is our last opportunity. So we have entertainment in both the day and the night. Entertainment in the day includes Sarah Dooley, Reformed Horrors, this gentleman Patrick, who's a wonderful magician, who was recommended by Harrison Greenbaum. He's fantastic. I've seen him before. We are going to have Vicky DeVille performing drag performances. You can also get your drag makeup done by Vicky DeVille and her team. You can get STI testing from Beam.
Yep.
There's going to be dogs up for adoption from Holly at Waggy Tails. Mm-hmm. There's going to be Kate sex Wolf. Advice. Kate Wolf doing tarot card readings.
Yeah, my mom's going to be selling all. Corinne and I are donating a lot of our clothes and shoes and books and all the shit that we have in our apartment that we've meaning to donate. We're just going to be selling it for very little amount of money, and all the money is going to be benefiting New Alternatives and the Reproductive Health Access Project.
Yeah, and then at night, you guys are in for a sick lineup, including Michael Che, Harrison Greenbaum, Mayor Jessica Kirsten, me, Christina, and then, of course, the entire night event is hosted by the wonderful Shaquita Hall.
And we have cocktails that Corinne and I made up, mm-hmm. and we named them, and it's just going to be so fun.
It's a lot, and it's a lot of bang for your buck, and there's going to be a lot of opportunities to do things and kind of be exposed to things that you might not. Oh, we also have a henna artist coming in the daytime, a portrait artist. Like, there's just a lot of interesting things that you might not have done. And most of it, some of it's free, some of it's really low cost, but we just try to make the whole day a great experience for everybody who's going to be there. All right. Thank you so much to our sponsor, Smart Mouth. Everyone wants to be confident and feel your best when you're up close and personal with people at work, with friends, or even during sex.
What?
I love that they wrote, even during sex.
Dun, dun, dun.
But none of that matters if your mouth smells like a rotten egg, which is hilarious because I'm literally eating hard-boiled eggs right now because I have like three things I'm allowed to eat. Then it says, please speak about a time where you or your friend had an awkward, embarrassing, or bad experience due to bad breath. No, you don't.
Oh, I don't. Good. You don't either.
Why? You think you have bad breath?
Because some people do, and I'm honestly like, is anybody going to tell them?
I'm literally obsessed. I'm obsessed with making sure my breath smells good. Like, I lick my arm a lot.
Oh, and then, yeah, but is that an accurate representation?
Yeah.
Because I lick my arm and that doesn't smell.
You have to lick your arm, wait 30 seconds, and then when that dry smell is how your breath actually smells. Okay. But I'm like constantly like chewing gum.
I just say Brussels sprouts. I bring
these Smart Mouth packets, which are travel everywhere I go. Like, I'm obsessed with it because, and Joe DeRosa has a story about this, but like, he's like, nothing hurts more than someone saying to you, you have bad breath.
It hurts it does hurt.
James
a lot.
Said it two times to me in our 2-year relationship. And it cut so deep. But he's like, well, I'm only telling you because he's like, your breath normally never smells bad. So right. I'm letting you know. But like, one time was because it was booze, and like, booze makes your breath smell bad.
Yeah.
Or if you don't eat for a long time. But anyway, it's like very embarrassing. And especially when you're in a business where you're talking to people so much,
mm-hmm.
or like spinning
the
on them.
Time I was making you smell bad smells.
Yeah. And I just like, I'm trying to be super on top of it, but it's difficult. So I love these Smart Mouth mouthwash because, number one, it really works. It lasts a really long time. And the travel packs are so fucking good because they're safe for the airplane. But I also like throw one in my purse, throw one in my backpack, because you never know know when you're going to want to like eat something. And I hate to like not eat something delicious because I have to talk to someone later.
I know.
That's a real bummer.
Yeah. You don't like that. Life doesn't need to
be
like that.
Yeah. So nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as bad breath. So we have to be smart about our mouths. Smart Mouth mouthwash eliminates the bad breath causing sulfur from our mouths on contact.
Ew.
And prevents more sulfur from coming back for 24 hours. So this is not just masking it. It's actually fixing it, which is what I like. It's getting to the root of the problem. Smart Mouth even has a new premium zinc ion toothpaste that was just voted best toothpaste for bad breath by GQ magazine. This toothpaste is amazing. It will give you a new kind of feel, a smart kind of clean that you've never experienced. So get new Smart Mouth premium zinc ion toothpaste next to Smart Mouth mouth washes at Walmart and Walgreens. You can go to smartmouth.com/GWF for a $2.50 coupon.
Because
I know our demographic is big on clipping coupons.
Hey, Kourtney Kardashian clips coupon. I know that.
Oh yeah. Again, that's smartmouth.com/GWF. I really do like this product.
Hey, and now that your pussy, wait, now that your mouth, shit, uh-oh, I messed it up. Freudian slip. You know, I want, if a mouth is going to smell good, then I want it to eat me out, but then I want my pussy to smell good. And, okay, I don't even know if this is, no, they want me to talk about the tampons. Support for today's show comes from Lola. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic tampons, pads, and liners, and now they offer sex products, too. That's what I'm talking about. I have a pussy wipe in my purse, including ultra-thin lubricated condoms that are made of natural rubber latex and individually tested for contraception and STI protection. Their ultra-thin design and premium medical-grade silicone oil lubricant ensures a safe and without sacrificing sensation. Plus, to make your month a little bit easier, you can add Sex by Lola to your period subscription. Just choose your mix of products, absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. Wow, you really get to customize this shit. And everything is delivered on your ideal schedule. It's super flexible, so you can change, skip, or cancel at any time. Damn. Hosts must discuss their personal experience with the product. Well, last time I had sex, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to brag, I wiped my vagina with a Lola wipe and flowery fresh. Truly, it was great because I had very little notice. He was like, I'm coming over. And I'm like, I'm coming over. Oh, God. Oh, no, I'm going to can't shower. Lola, touch on how you benefited personally. I got laid. I got dick because my pussy smelled really good because of Lola, because I wiped my vagina with one of those Lola wipes and then he penetrated my vagina with his penis. Hope that's something along the lines of what you're talking about, Lola. Generalized personal endorsement, also encouraged. For example, I really do. And this is true. I love how convenient those pussy wipes are because I ain't got to go in no shower. You know, not that I'm not showering. I am, because I'm wearing my hair curly lately, so I'm actually showering a lot. But it's summer and it's really muggy out. And sometimes you'd be walking in those jeans and you're like, why do I wear jeans? I should wear shorts. And then this cute guy texts you that you used to fuck and you thought you weren't fucking anymore. And he's like, I'll come over. And you're like, ah, Lola. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylolaandenergy.com, MYLOLA.com. Enter GWF40 when you subscribe for 40% off all subscriptions. Love of all of you.
Okay. This one's for someone you can watch. That's exciting. STX Entertainment, The Happy Time Murders. The Jim Henson Company was the first to introduce you to a human puppet world. But on August 24th, Henson Alternative...
Stop it.
We'll show you what happens on the other side of the street. Brian Henson, the son of Jim Henson and director of The Muppets Christmas Carol and Muppets Treasure Island.
Oh, yes.
Brings us the most outrageous R-rated comedy of the summer, The Happy Time Murders. Starring Melissa McCarthy as foul-mouthed detective Connie Edwards, who teams up with her puppet partner Phil Phillips to find out who's behind a series of puppet murders in the seedy underbelly of Los Angeles. Mm. A world where puppets interact with humans in a very adult, sometimes shocking, and ultimately hilarious way. These puppets are No Sesame, All Street. Co-starring...
That's funny.
Co-starring comedy all-stars Maya Rudolph, who is fucking the best, Joel McHale, Leslie David Baker, and Elizabeth Banks. The Happy Time Murders is an unapologetically outrageous. The film's trailer debuted in front of a Deadpool 2... the movie.
Okay.
And surprise and amaze audiences across the country. I guess they're trying to say, like,
it's a good movie. I mean, I saw the preview. It looks fucking great.
I guess they're like, if the Deadpool 2 audience was wowed by it, it's going to fucking blow your balls off.
Yeah.
You have to see it to believe it. As with most movies, you do have to see them. The Happy Time Murders, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parents, in theaters August 24th.
Subject of this email is, I exclusively masturbate to videos of childbirth. And I was like, perfect.
Ooh.
Hi, Kurt and Christina. My name is, now I'll leave it out just in case. I'm 21-year-old who recently discovered your podcast. I had recently ended a 4-year long-term relationship with my ex, and your podcast has really helped me get out there again and become more in touch with my sexuality. I'll skip the compliments about how awesome and life-changing you guys are, because the fact that you guys gave me the courage to share what's down below should be a compliment in its own. Oh, man.
Oh, thank you so much.
Baby. Baby, get it? Because... okay. I have never shared this with anyone in my life, but here and I am still part petrified as I write this to you, albeit I feel some relief from doing so. As the title suggests, I am so turned on by childbirth. I remember being very young, maybe 4, 5, or 6, and feeling these intense desires, which now I understand as being horny. During these times, I would have a very strong desire to enact or imagine about giving birth, how the woman would open her legs and the baby's head would crown, the perineum stretching tight around the head. Whoa, damn. Yeah, you really do like this. Like Corinne, I started out masturbating by humping objects. Oh, that was me. That's me. That's where Christina won. You guys, I'm the humper. For me, it was a pillow between and under my pelvis, very young, around 9 or so, and I exclusively masturbated to the thought of women giving birth. This was before I knew what sex was or even what a penis looked like. How bummed were you? Just kidding. Around puberty, I learned about sex through accidentally downloading a Kama Sutra app on my iPod. To be fair, it was really colorful and had lots of reviews saying it was fun to play, but I had never been turned on by the thought of sex as much as I am turned on by childbirth. When I masturbate, which I frequently do, I exclusively do to videos of women giving birth. I cannot orgasm from or get turned on with any other form of erotic material, including various types of porn, literotica, audio porn, etc., etc. Here is what I look for in the videos and what turns me on. I try to be as not graphic as possible while getting everything across, but I apologize in advance if it does end up being too graphic. Girl, don't you apologize. Just FYI, guys, let's get graphic. I want to see the woman's vagina. I want to see it enlarge and stretch as the baby's head crowns.
Oh, too graphic.
Corinne's literally eating and enjoying her food while I'm reading this. Like, it's fine. You know, we're good. I'm like, this is not that graphic. I want to see her face. And more she seems to feel pain and be straining to push, the more and more I feel turned on. I like home births more than hospital births because there tends to be less doctors yelling and I could see natural labor. Oh, I get that. I am also turned on by the noises that she makes, the primal guttural sounds the mother makes while she's trying to push. This kind of sounds like kinky sex, but minus a baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for me, but I get it.
Yeah. The more she seems to be struggling to give birth, the more I am turned on. By this, I know by now. I mean, but then again, that's kink. That's
the struggle. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
I just like watching a woman scream. I've been masturbating to birth for 12 plus years now. Giving birth isn't clean. The woman may pee or pass stool while pushing. This chick is an expert on giving birth because she's seen it so many times.
Yeah.
The woman may pee or pass stool while pushing. This turns me on the most. A woman pooping while giving birth. The woman's struggle to push past something so large makes me dripping wet, and I orgasm to this every single time I masturbate.
Wow.
But if you think about it, it's kind of like a crazy feat of like, sure, I'll take a shit, but I got to get this kid out of me.
Yeah,
like
that's, wow.
I mean, giving birth is such an amazing, she goes on. To address some frequently asked questions I get, meaning I've asked myself. Number one, no, this is not an anal or scat fantasy. Poop, anal things, and any other circumstances gross me out, and I don't get turned on from it. I just listened to your episode about anal gaping. Was not turned on by it.
I don't think anyone was.
Me either. No, I do not want to give birth ever. Interesting. I don't fantasize about being pregnant, and I don't intend to ever be pregnant because I want to prioritize my career and my health. In parentheses, my mom had a horrendous time physically and mentally each of the 5 times she was pregnant, 4 of which she miscarried.
Egad.
If I do not want children in the future, I plan on using a surrogate or adopting. You probably masturbate to her giving birth, maybe. I don't know. I am not turned on by pregnancy or pregnant women. I am just turned on by the birth. 4, I am not turned on by any other large object other than a baby in the vagina. So interesting. Meaning I am not turned on by fisting or huge dildos, because that was going to be one of my guesses. I'm like, oh, maybe you just want a fist up there.
Right.
This problem has so strongly affected my sex life, as I do not find and cannot come to anything else other than childbirth. I lost my virginity to my ex, and we've had great sex many times, but I have never been able to orgasm through sex. I know that a great majority of women can't come from vaginal stimulation alone, and I have been explorative with toys and position stimulating my clitoris. My masturbation is exclusively clitoral using a vibrator. He knew this, and I was okay with the fact that I wouldn't orgasm during sex because I genuinely enjoyed sex as is. Although he and I were very open with exploring our kinks and opening up about sort of taboo fantasies, he has a ton of strongly Freudian and Oedipal fantasies. I have never even dared to tell him about my fantasy and still have not told him. He's extremely grossed out by blood to the point where he will faint if he sees blood, so it's not like I can show him a video that I masturbate to and see what his reaction is. He also has, in a separate instance, told me that he accidentally stumbled across a childbirth video on YouTube and found the idea to be beautiful. Sure, but the view repulsive. All right. I cannot masturbate with anybody else present, including my ex when we were dating. Trust me, I want to be like the majority of you guys, enjoying sex for what it is, and I wish I could get to it. I don't know if my fantasies are something that other people have, or if it would be considered on a pathological level psychiatrically. My career is in the financial industry, where the standard for dress and behavior is still what the old white man wants. And if any of my coworkers or anybody who knows me found out, I'm sure I would get in at least social trouble. I know you've mentioned multiple times on your podcast different kinks and fetishes and how they're okay to explore as long as you do not do any harm to yourself and others, but I don't know how my fetish can be fulfilled, not to mention that it has been affecting my sex life, where I can't seem to find anything else remotely close as arousing as I find childbirth to be. I don't know what to do, and I'm always left wanting something more. I'm at work and I'm typing this during my lunch. Sorry if I sound so disjointed. I'd be happy to provide clarification on any of the parts if needed. Thank you so much in advance for taking your time to read through this. Dearly yours, and then the gal's name. So you can only get off to videos of women screaming as they a baby exits their vagina. You know, if I had a nickel. I truly don't know. I don't find that kink. That email just made me go, oh, that sucks that it's so specific for you that you have to. That's the only inconvenience that I can find. And also sharing that with people, I get why. It's odd, but it's certainly not the weirdest thing I've ever heard. And I truly do understand it. I feel like, thunder. I think pregnant women, they don't arouse me, but I just find it so, I don't know, otherworldly. It's when a cool woman is pregnant. I think it's incredible. I think it's like, I look at her like beyond human. And I know videos of childbirth is totally different, because you're saying you can't master, you know, pregnant women. So, yeah, I think I understand the way you describe it, and the way you describe the woman screaming, and even describing like she's shitting and then giving, then the child comes out and that makes you the most horny. I kind of get it. I don't want to watch, I don't want to watch a video of childbirth.
Right.
But I can see how someone would find that arousing. It just seems like the inconvenience is the biggest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, thing. It's like when someone tells me about their kink, I really don't care if I'm into it or not. I'm not into this, but it doesn't matter. Matter to me.
Exactly.
My two notes on this email are, number one, why would anyone in your work need to know about your kink or what you're masturbating to? That made no sense to me.
It's not a coworker chat.
Yeah, it just had nothing to do with anything.
It's not water cooler chat.
Yeah, that shouldn't be, you shouldn't feel plagued by this like secret or something. It's not, I mean, I think some people probably would interpret it as strange. I don't find it to be strange at all. And then secondly, a problem I see is that you can only get off to that, because there's something there.
Yeah, there's got to be, right?
Because sex, you know, there is sex that you have just for like this visceral pleasure, or like to just like kind of get off. But like when you're having sex with another human, like there should be times when you can just connect with another human being and be aroused and orgasm on the pure human connection. So if you're always have to have this kind of very, I would say, over the top kink incorporated to orgasm, that's where the only problem that I see in this email.
But she does like sex.
Yeah,
like,
but she's not coming and she's
I mean, a lot of women don't come during sex. Like, well, in terms of just penis and vagina, I don't come that way at all.
I don't. It seems to me, though, it's not that it's not a masturbation versus penetration.
There's like a mental obstacle.
There's a mental thing that's going on there. And I don't know.
If anybody has this kink, somebody has to. Somebody else listening to this has to, or know somebody who does. Email us, because I think this is really fascinating. And I really appreciate the emailer describing, like, going into like other facets, because I would assume that you would want to give birth if that's what you jerk off to or you get off to. So that's really fucking fascinating. I've never heard of it, but I guarantee you other people have it. So write us, or if you know what the underlying thing is there.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to Tommy about it actually, because I'm kind of curious, and I think maybe like someone who studies like sex and psychology and how those two things intertwine would have a little bit more insight. But
the only insight I have is like, what if in a past life, like, you were like a baby and then you like die when you're like coming out? So like, you're like, oh, I want to celebrate the fact that I'm alive.
Well, she did mention though, like maybe seeing like a psychiatrist or some kind of a therapist, and I think that might be a good idea, because it's affecting her sex life and it's frustrating her.
I'm just interested in why.
Yeah, there has to be another way. Like, you know, no matter what, I'm pretty like, I watch only like one or two kinds of porn, and those are the only kind of porn that I like and the only kind of porn that I can get off to. But I certainly don't need those things present in my actual sexual life. In my real life, sexual life, all that I need is like someone that I'm really connecting with. And there's a lot of emails that we get and a lot of people who kind of like are... And I think this is common with like sexually explorative people, where you're going like more on the kink and less on the person.
Yeah.
So it's like there is fun sex, but let us not forget that
human connection.
The human connection and like what sexuality is really about. Like sometimes it is just fun, but there should be a pretty solid foundation for a lot of the sex you're having, especially if you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
So just don't forget that.
So email us if you exclusively masturbate to videos of women giving birth. Or if you know anything about it. This is so interesting.
This week's guest, everybody, we're so excited to have her on. She has been someone we've been wanting to have on for a very long time. Very talented stand-up comedian and a wonderful human being. Please give a warm welcome to Casey Balsham. I wanna be young with you for things to be simple. The way they used to. The past. History is to blame. I just wanna know, could we go back to the days when nothing got in our way?
Casey Balsham.
Hi.
How's it going?
How are you?
Good.
I'm so excited to interview you.
Yay. Okay, I'm excited to be interviewed.
I like when people get nervous before guys we fucked. Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous because we were rapping a little bit before, so it was kind of like, okay. I wasn't sure if we were doing, I was going to text you guys because I was like, is there like a theme? Or like, I'm like, what is, you know, I didn't know
the
if we were just going to kind of get on what we wanted to get.
Political differences.
Oh, no, thank you.
No.
Now I'm nervous.
I was thinking of, when you talk, you and also in your act, you talk a lot about kind of like wanting to get married and have kids.
That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. And I think that's a lot, especially like a lot of feminists there come from like a school of thought where it's like they kind of like shit on those like basic things.
Right.
But a lot of people want them. And I don't think that there is any need to shit on what someone else wants in their fucking life.
Right. And I'm not like, and I was also like, I come from, you know, I never thought when I was younger, I never really was like one of those people that was thought about weddings or anything. Like I've only started to think about it now, but I always thought about kids. I've been like naming children since I was 12, which is like really fucking creepy. Oh my God. I met this woman that was an intuitive kind of wellness coach, and she was like, she's in your past psychic? Life.
Is that what that means?
She called herself an intuitive something.
She
want
to scare you away. She
oh, was we're just, very into that nonsense here on the podcast.
Oh, I love yeah. the nonsense.
Welcome to woo woo land.
Predict my future, bitch.
Yeah, but she was saying in my past life, I was like a caregiver or something, which is weird because I never thought I had a past life. I thought I was new when I came out.
Really?
I,
no,
you I've did, never you have. Felt old, but I
because
I,
you're wise and mature.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
for
those
that,
people I, have been around town.
Wait,
yeah.
how do you know if you're new?
Like a child.
I mean,
because
I'm definitely
you're an idiot.
Not, but,
right. I think new
because you're an idiot.
Yeah, if you're
no,
a
like new people
idiot.
Are like murderers and rapists and idiots.
Well, a murderer and an idiot are very different.
True. Well, this sometimes true. People are smart murderers, but sometimes they're not.
You think fresh people are murderers?
Yeah, because they don't know
they lack
enough.
The sense.
They lack the. They yeah the wherewithal to forward think. I'm
Did
making up words.
Did someone tell you this or?
I have had discussions think. About it with psychic healers
Weird.
Before. One mm-hmm. of them did say I was going to marry Steven, and that didn't work out. But I
They're
do
not
think,
all right. Well, yeah. but also your life isn't over, correct. So you don't know. Something crazy could happen, and it could come back into your life. You just don't know. You're making a face at me right now, but you don't know.
No, I don't know.
You don't. You don't know.
That's yeah. true.
Things could I go crazy. So.
This is true.
Yeah.
Especially this woman was also telling me that this is so funny because I 5 minutes of her telling me this and I'm already like spewing it out like I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
When I was right. eight, she was, I had a daughter named Abigail in my head.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I was on a Titanic or something. But she was saying that it doesn't matter. Like your life is your hand, and like if you draw a line on top of your hand, that's your soul journey. And
Whoa.
So like it's so fucking. And
that
I was like,
word
I,
is
I, like,
weird.
I know. I wanted so much more information, but she was saying like things in your life that happen really have no control because like there's a different path. So
oh.
even the choices you make, I'm like, I gotta have some control over my life, but I don't know. So right. I definitely want to look more into
so
it.
So do we have control
she,
over
like,
our lives?
Well, there's
my
two
interest.
Schools of thought.
Yeah.
One that every single thing that you do in your life is predetermined, and every move you make is like already predetermined. But
Ugh.
Then there's some that says like you have lots of control over
yeah.
it.
Which has got to be
you have control of how you perceive it.
I guess so. I guess how you process it and take it in and
yeah.
how you move forward.
How, you
how quick
it.
Or how slowly
you get a rash and you
after.
Could be like, you know what?
It's fine.
At least it's not cancer. Or you'd be like, this rash ruins my week.
Or you get a rash and it is cancer and you just decide never to look.
Yeah.
Never to
and
go
then,
get a
cancer
tested.
Rash.
And
you
then
know?
You just die.
You know those cancer rashes that everybody gets.
I hate cancer rashes. I'm always looking for them when I go in
my
the woods.
My cancer rash.
That's really funny. Wait, so can you share any of these kids' names? Because I love, I also named kids. I'm not having them, but they're named.
It's so, okay. So when I was, it's so funny because me and my roommate Amy were talking about like old school, like 90s names, how everyone we knew was like
Kelly.
Kristen or Kelly.
Kelly.
Or
yeah. So many Kelly.
Tiffany
Kellys.
Or something like that. So when I was younger, it was always like Danielle or Daniel. Because remember, every cool popular girl was like Danielle. In my, at least I feel like that was always
I had
like
a cool
a
couple popular girls.
Cool Danielle's. I just always felt like, and then for a while it was like Christopher or Christina with a C.
Really?
Sorry, with a C.
Yeah, my brother's Christopher, yeah.
Right, and so for a while I liked those two names. Just like, that's when I was like younger. And now I like, I don't know, now I've gone through so many different things. I really like the name Sydney for a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind
I
of
agree.
Where I'm stuck on. Me and Robbie talked about the name Lou for a minute because it just sounded like a super from the Bronx. And we
yeah.
were like, that could be fun.
Hey, I'm Lou.
I know yeah. a great Lou. Yeah, one of my favorite people.
Lou was kind of fun. But I'm really stuck on the name, I think, Sydney right now.
Okay.
And you're trying to have a baby.
We are,
I did not know that.
I talk about it on stage, which is fun, which people, I think, never know if it's real or
yeah.
not, because I definitely, there was one time like after we first kind of started shooting up the middle that like I literally said,
I mean, go raw dog up in there.
As I say, easy cleanup.
Wait, and were you on were you on the pill? Did you have to go off? Or
I haven't been on the pill since I was 20 years old.
Okay.
I have not, which is now, that's 16 years. I just, because I was on the pill and I was on like antidepressants. I couldn't control anything. So I just fucking quit every pill I was on cold turkey, and I've never been back on the pill,
mm-hmm.
which is a little scary because I'm like, there's times when I probably should have been pregnant and I've never gotten pregnant.
Huh.
So I'm like, and my mom had a lot of problems. So I'm a little,
oh yeah.
But I've always been very regular in my period. So I feel like that's a good sign that like
that
it came. Yeah.
Okay.
It was never like, and I never was like super heavy, but like I was never that person that could sit down and could only have a tampon in for like 5 minutes. Like I always was kind of, which was, do you know what I mean?
Hate that one bitch. It's like, I got to change it now.
I've never been
Kelly,
that lucky.
God.
I know, Danielle, you're so
I mean,
bleedy.
I don't, people
how much do you want to be bleeding? That's one of my favorite things about the pill is that like it stops a lot of the blood.
Yeah, but I think when you're like a heavy, you know, like I've never had weird problems like that. Like, I mean, I get cramps, my tits hurt, like my back hurts, whatever, the same thing. But
yeah,
especially so as bad. I've gotten older, my tits have become like, I'm like, ugh.
My boobs hurt. So terrible. I feel like I'm carrying around cement.
The rocks.
It hurts so bad.
The rocks. Yeah.
If I even bump into a wall lightly, I'm like, ow.
Yeah.
Mine get huge, so I love it. Hey, it's period time, everybody. Someone's a C-cup.
You're like Cleveland, banana,
and then they're like, you shrink, yeah.
So I was on the pill. We just kind of like, we would pull out, and now we're just not. And then I have him throw my legs in the air because apparently it like pours it.
Throw him?
It seems very...
When he comes or after
I
he comes?
Kick, after we kick the legs, I actually have this, like I had like dark toenail polish on my toes. And I think when I was drunk and was like, bleh, I like threw my legs back and like marked up the wall behind because I woke up. I was like, these are funny toe marks right here. But so, yeah, so we're... And I, when I first started talking about it on stage, I actually was saying I might be pregnant right now, which was a funny kind of like energy. And I remember like one of the managers at one of the clubs was like, should I say congratulations? I was like, no, it hasn't happened. And now it's like after now that it's been a couple months, it's kind of not as like I'm almost kind of not like I feel like I would know if it happened. So every month my period comes and I kind of get bummed and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to feel.
Well, it's a weird thought process.
Very weird.
Of like, yeah. Okay, so then do you have to face the fact that maybe your body is slow or does it not do that thing where it gets pregnant?
I don't know. Take a long time to get pregnant. I mean, it's very rare that you would just get, I mean, like, and that's also why as we get older, because it's fucked up, that's why the show like 16 Pregnant exists, because when you're 16, it's like super easy to get pregnant.
I know.
And it's really not fair. Like, it's not aligned with like how the world works.
How you should, yeah. And we both gotten the tests done, so it apparently we're both firing on all cylinders.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, did you like, because when you plan to have a baby, I'm like, do you just like start fucking? Or do you have to like just check, run it by a physician?
Well, I went, I know. I
feel like I should run it by somebody.
To get approval?
I know. I feel like somebody needs to tell me like this is okay.
Yeah.
Because I still feel very much like
it's a very adult move.
Exactly. And like I said, I don't think either one of us are like, it's never going to be the right time. I don't feel like we're not financially ready. We're not any of these things. Like neither, like we're both
roommate.
Comics and nobody has a job. Like we're like, let's just bring this child into
what
a fucking world of chaos. But
I mean, it's already chaotic.
I know.
But you guys are so cool.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? You'll make like a chill environment for a kid.
If the baby is anything like Robert, that's not even his real name. His name is Robbie.
It's not short for Robert?
No, it's R-O-B-B-Y, and that's fucking it.
His mom was just like, Robbie.
Yeah, well, his mom's Israeli, so it's just Robbie.
Oh,
you know, like
I
he's
see,
foreign, so okay. His parents were like, Robbie, it's fine.
I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah.
But if it's anything like Robbie, I'm sure it'll just be like just always a little bit over it, which is fun.
It'll
just be like
a
baby that's just kind of like, I could take it.
Okay.
And if it's anything like me, it'll be like trying to get into
clubs,
like walking. It'll run into the middle of the street more times than it won't.
Wow.
It will.
What a fun.
Well, you don't know yet.
To
you
have
don't
an
know
it.
Yet.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's, but it's just, you know, like I said, I'm 36 and I just don't know. I don't know how much longer I can wait. And I don't know how much longer. I know people are having babies at 40. I just don't know if I want to. And I don't know if my body will bounce back. And I'm already feeling the effects of getting older. Like my metabolism is slowed and all these things. So it's like
creaky knees.
Yeah.
And
I'm
goes
like,
awry.
Yeah. And you can have a very, and you know, some people have good pregnancies and some people have bad. And you just never know. And it's like, I just want, I guess, already to be a little bit still.
How'd you approach this subject with him?
Yeah.
Because how you guys have been together for
four
and you
years
started
and some
friends
change. We started as
who
friends
lived together.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting to me.
Yes, we
friends
moved
who lived together,
together mm-hmm.
and then you just started fucking one night,
like almost immediately.
Oh,
which was very fun. It was, yeah.
Please go through this.
So we met doing open mics in LA, and we actually kind of liked each other right off the bat. But it was just like weird circumstance. But we did get drunk and like have sex one night when we first like met, and it was just really sloppy and really
was
weird.
It good sex?
It was. I think we were both hammered, and Robbie doesn't really drink, so we were both just kind of like a lot.
Like
then
Gumbies.
It was very wobbly. Yeah, it was very shaky and very silly. And I was also kind of like, okay, this is interesting. But then we were kind of like talked about dating and it just never happened. And then just years passed.
Like, what do you mean talked about it? Like put like, that on the shelf.
I know. Like he kind of had this whole thing about like he was still dealing with some weird self-inflicted trauma from like another relationship where he felt he was still feeling like bad about things that he didn't like. It was just a very
and were
weird,
you like, bro, all right, fine.
It was just kind of like, I'm gonna move Robbie. On. Yeah, exactly. It was just like, I'm gonna move on. Like, if we're not gonna, like, I was kind of seeing this other guy and like essentially broke up with him to date Robbie, and then Robbie didn't date me, and I was like,
what the fuck?
Well, okay, then, yeah, and so then. You know, I did what I did, and he's seen me through some very trashy, like, we were still friends, so sometimes I'd hang out with him, I'd be like, I fucked a 20-year-old last night, and he'd be like, you're doing well, you know, like, you are, nice. This is great, you know, and so, like, he always knew I was a fucking mess, you know, so sometimes when it comes back
you're
to bite him in the ass.
You're together mess, though.
Thank
I don't think fucking a 20-year-old makes you a mess.
I think when I was in LA and I was single, though, I was very, like, I mean, I had many mornings where I'd wake up and I'd be like, which coworker is in my bed currently? Do you know what I mean? Like, I was very much, like, I was just loosey-goosey. That's why I'm almost glad that me and Robbie are dating in New York, because I feel like I would have made out with every single one of our friends, just because that's the nature of my beast when I'm drunk. I'm
got
just
it.
Like,
yes, you are. You know what? I do recall last time you and I were drunk in the same place. We were dancing on a pool table.
Brendan Sagal's
birthday.
We were crawling, and
we were crawling. Dramatically
on the bar.
Crawling.
Yes, we were.
And the bar.
I forgot it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes,
fun.
We had lots of. But that's.
Oh,
just,
wait, was this in McSwiggins?
This is where we're calling the guy daddy.
Oh, because I was like, I was here.
Oh, yeah, we were calling the bartender daddy.
I know, and he just let us stay. Oh, 6
a.m. Remember that guy? He was kind of cute. And
remember him? It's Adam, my best friend daddy at McSwiggins. This is not my best friend. I see this man several times a month.
I never go there.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know why he lets you crawl in the bar? Because mommy over here leaves a real nice tip.
That's what you were saying. You're like, I tipped it because I was like, how did he just do last call? And then we were like, that's cute.
Yeah. No. He's acted my worst very regularly, very recently in that bar, just consistently, and so I just tip him really well, and he could not be nicer about it.
That's
and so
he kept fun. That shit open till 6 a.m.
He has dealt with so much nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, I was like moving the fan with my hand.
You were like, let's just make it go on our own. We don't need electricity.
He is a very composed man.
Yeah, he was kind. So I felt like I was probably, I just was a bit more, I think I just would wake up and always kind of have to check my phone, like wonder what I always kind of.
It's like a little grab bag.
Yeah, of like, who did I text? What did I say? What, like, I just always kind of had
that's
this
my favorite part
state
of
anxiety.
Waking up from a blackout.
I know.
Do you black out a lot?
I still black out a lot, yes.
Oh, because you're like Corinne, like it's not that hard for you to black
out. I don't throw up. I just
go away. It's the switch that we talked about. I don't know if you read this, but I read up on blackouts because I was actually, you know, concerned, and I don't like, it's not like it's fun to black out or cool.
I read about it.
Yeah, it's a switch in your head. So our switches already went off and there's no going back. At a certain point, you'll always black out for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the card I was dealt.
I guess if you
just have to be, you just have to kind of like, pretty good at like measuring and like counting. And like, the only thing is I don't feel it coming on. So I just have to really kind of do a lot of counting.
I do feel it going on. And
drinks?
I have realized in my life, I shouldn't take shots unless I only have one with like one drink.
Absolutely.
But like if I'm taking like that.
Every single time.
But I'll have a moment in my drinking where I will actually be like, I feel drunk. And the moment I acknowledge that, usually
Bank
after that,
case.
It's morning time. And I'm like, I'm home. This
is interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have my moment where I'm like, if you have one more, you know what's going to happen. And then I just kind of still make bad decisions. But
what's like the worst decision you've ever made
while being drunk. Here's the thing, it's not, I don't know if it's a worse decision, but I definitely feel like I have probably put myself in many, many compromising situations, and I'm very lucky that nothing.
You didn't get raped.
I mean, I had one, but basically,
that I
didn't wake
up.
Yeah, that I didn't wake up in like an alley. Like, I've done definitely some things where looking back at that, I'm like, that was so creepy. Like just in college, like going home with one guy and I didn't sleep with them, but like he would have a couple of his friends come in and I was just kind of like, okay. You know, we just like made out. It was just one of those situations.
They watched you make out?
No, they would like, like one guy would come in and make out with me and another one. And I didn't fuck any one of them, but it was still one of those things. It's like when you think about it though, you're like,
not when you're hammered.
I shouldn't be at this.
And they shouldn't be wanting to make out with a hammered girl.
No, but this is also, like early 2000s when I feel like people were still, not that anybody's ever been okay with rape, but you know, I feel like in early 2000s,
people didn't acknowledge when everyone's drunk, like, because it's like, I don't think a drunk man should be more responsible than a drunk woman. That's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, if you're all at the same level of drunk, it's not like one person has to be like,
right,
no, guys, let's get it together.
No,
you know?
Not
hey,
at
guys,
all.
What you doing?
Yeah, this is weird. No, but I think it's just putting my, like, I can really remember being this person, being like, why am I here? You know, like, you kind of still think about it, but you think, you know, like,
you're
but
like,
it, but it's also like, if I wasn't drunk, I would definitely not be at these people's houses. I've definitely gotten into cars with people drinking. I've definitely driven drunk before, which always, like, looking back, well, because when I lived in LA, it's like, you have to drive it. Now, thank God,
you have to drive drunk.
You're not an LA resident if you don't drive drunk.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, there's a lot of drunk drivers. When I drive in LA, I'm like, good God, you guys.
Well, it's, I mean, when I left, Uber was just kind of coming around. And so now people, you know, you can get from place to place. But, but before it was like, you have a drink or you have two beers and then I drive, you know, and I lived a little bit far away, like I was living in the South Bay.
Well, drink or two beers and driving isn't bad or no?
No, but
I do that. I don't feel
it was
tipsy.
Definitely sometimes more than that, though. You know, there's definitely been times so that I regret. Just a lot of times, just kind of. I think my regrets mainly go with that kind of stuff. With just my, I always make bad decisions because the way that I feel after, you know, like I just beat myself up for this, and then you have to, you know, say you do make out with a coworker, and you have to like work your way up to going back into work to seeing them, and it's always just like, and I'm like, I did this to my fucking self, and then but just it, my anxiety level goes high, and it's like, why would I do that when I could have just.
It in your head that you shouldn't, a good person, or for you, your moral standard, how you want to conduct yourself, you shouldn't be making out with coworkers drunk.
I think I just always, it's like an embarrassment. I don't know. Like, I think I just beat myself up for
you
for
just
those
gotta walk
things.
In and high five them and be like,
I mean,
that was fun. Bruh.
I know.
Remember when your tongue and my tongue were doing that little dance?
I know, but sometimes it's not always somebody that, like, I have attracted. You know, like, it's like, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes,
your tongue and ugly?
Sometimes when I'm drunk, you close your eyes, anyone will do. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how it looks.
I don't know what you mean, actually.
Well, I mean, there was an infamous Christmas party at one of my old jobs where, like, everyone made out. Like, I literally, like, made out with my female manager. And I was like, I'm not even into it, but it was just like, you know, tis the season.
I've had a couple female managers that I've made out with as well, which
it was great. It's so nice when you're at a job that you don't actually really, like, need.
Oh,
you just like being there.
People, so it's
and
nasty.
You're like, bam, anything goes. Like, you can't do that at, like, a serious, important job.
Yeah. No. No, but yeah, but I just always, it's just always, it's more just the self beating up the next day of being like, and that's the kind of shit that I always will be like, why did I do this again? And then I go into a spiral, and then it just happens like 3 days later, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you just gotta accept this whatever. Part of who you are.
I know. Well, that's why it's really
it's
nice.
It's probably nice to have
not
a boyfriend.
Have that anxiety anymore.
Yeah, because then you may just make out with him, but then sometimes we were talking about this, and I've asked Steven and other partners this before, like when I come home and I'm like, I'm horny, we're fucking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the next day I'm like, was that forceful?
Yeah. Robbie always tells me I come home when I'm drunk, like a drunken husband, and I just like rouse him and I'm like, we're doing this. And then just gets.
Oh, we are very similar.
Does he ever not want to fuck when you do that? Has he ever turned you down? And how pissed were you if he did?
I feel like he has maybe before if he's had to get up in the morning, but most of the time he's fine with it.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I don't want this to be like, you know, like I always tell him, like, we got to make sure that this isn't, you know, like, I don't want to always be doing it like this. Like, you know, like I feel like, because I dart a lot
you in
more
the middle
than
of the
he
night.
Does. Yeah. And I'm like, we need to have sex at regular hours sometimes, not just at 3 a.m. when I've been out with comics doing stupid shit. And I'm like, it's fucking like, I don't know. It's just.
Do you ever fuck during the day? I feel like, ugh.
Well, I said when I'm hungover,
oh, that's
I get
right.
very needy. So
she gets horny hungover.
Yes.
Oh, God bless you.
I know. That's
weird?
What I said. So lucky.
I get very needy. But you know what? When I was single, when I was hungover, that was and weird. Like when I was
what
beating myself up, and that's when I would like send nude pictures to like people
while
like,
you were beating yourself up for making out with somebody and show them a picture.
Casey,
of your pussy
we need to spend more time together.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like I would, that's when I would feel like needy and like
so
text
wait.
Boys because I like needed an attention thing. It was bizarre.
Did I'm needy part of I'm the shame make you horny? Of like, I shouldn't have done that. That was stupid.
I think I just need the reassurance. I think I need like some kind of positive reassurance. And you know, when you're younger and you think that showing people your tits and they go nice tits,
wait,
you're like, this works.
You sell
they like me for my boobies.
I like sending nudes though because it's like it's kind of just like when I have a party in a hotel. Like on Saturday, I had a party in the hotel room by myself and I drank Chardonnay and I like got real sexy by myself. And then, but I was just like, people need to like, you know, when you take a picture so good, you're like, well, it would be selfish to keep. myself.
You
send it because you like need positive reinforcement.
I think, and again, this was. Like,
I mean, I don't want anyone to reply like, "Ugh."
But. No, this was again like in my right, or you don't want somebody just to not reply. But
like,
I had,
James used to reply to nudes by going cool, and I would be
hell no, no, not in my house, no.
Furious.
Not in my house,
I would be furious.
I know. Even when I ask Robbie a simple question, he says sure or like some kind of bullshit answer. I'm like, I need you to have
one word,
fucking,
huh?
Yeah, just have something more, feel more about it than sure or cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, yeah, it's terrifying. No, I think I was just, it's terrifying when some people lack that
emotion. One word
answers
could mean so much.
They could. No, it was, I was also in my like mid and upper 20s when I would do this, but being neat, like feeling like just, I think just feeling still a little drunk, but also feeling a little bit like, of just the drunk shame or whatever, and just needing somebody to give me a different kind of attention than like what
so
I was beating myself
your
up
mind
for
off.
Doing.
Yeah, well, yeah. That I could see would just switch your brain to focus on just plus, that, and then you don't feel bad.
Yeah. Plus, you know, when you're hungover, you feel super skinny because you're like dehydrated.
So thin. Oh, my ribs, like the upper stomach area is like fucking.
Oh God,
haven't eaten for
I
days.
Take all my nudes
looks great.
Yeah. Oh my God,
I would just be like dehydrated.
And then when you like lay down and take pictures, you're like, oh, it's like I got a facelift.
And BlackBerry. Remember the BlackBerry phones were always just a yes. little bit foggy anyway, so you were just
it was
like,
already filtered.
Like, I fucking loved my BlackBerry.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
BlackBerries were the shit.
Ugh.
IBMs.
Nice. Oh, I BBM'd my way through many years.
Oh my God. I know. Although I still, when I think about the sound of one, because this guy that I dated in Hawaii, like that, when it was like,
oh, I never turned my sound on anything. I hate sounds on phones, video games. Turn it the fuck off. Get headphones.
I know.
Do you want to date a gamer?
Oh my gosh, no. Yeah, when I date people,
a gamer.
No, video game playing is an immediate ex. I have a long list of that, though.
I love that. I should have had a list many years ago when I was dating terrible people.
Some standards.
I never did. Yeah, I should have made standards. But no, I dated this guy who had a BlackBerry, and his phone would just go, and he was like such just, he ended up being like a huge shit and like cheated him, like all this stuff. So when I think of that sound, I just think of all these like gross women he was like texting or Facebook, whatever he was doing. So whenever I think of BlackBerry,
whatever
I also,
he was doing.
Whatever. I mean, because I of course looked one time, you know, and was just like, this is
when you were right, huh?
When I was
I've
right.
I've never looked and been wrong.
Yeah, but so
it's true.
I think that's but why then like, when if I you knew feel the need to look, you don't.
You're right.
It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then when you do, though, do you say, I feel the need to look, we're done. You got to get proof.
No, I think you just say, I really don't trust you and this isn't working.
I think, though, that this guy was such a terrible person that he actually can still convince me that I was wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they
like,
can do that.
And it was
cheaters
still
always,
my problem.
Yeah, and they make you feel stupid like, for
what?
Thinking,
yeah.
Why would you think that?
Yeah.
How'd you catch him and how great did it feel to just really yell at him?
It didn't because he just yelled back. Because I was like, oh, you hung out with us. This is when you said, and you said that you weren't doing this and here's this and that. And he was just like, what the fuck? You know, he just yelled at me. And then I think like tried
what
to like.
Douchebag.
Oh my God. And then would go silent on me, which was even more maddening because I was like, if I'm like, I want to fight. I'm that person that wants to fight right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah. We're
right
not sleeping
now.
On this.
No,
we are talking.
You're not going to ignore me. We're going to talk about this until we get to a place where I feel good about it, which will be never. But this guy, no, I remember he would ignore me. I went to his apartment. And he was like trying to, I was trying to open the door. He was trying to like close it on me. And I was just like, like it was, I found things at his house.
What?
I checked his like, I remember checking his toiletry bag for how many condoms. Like I remember being like, okay, they had 2 condoms in here yesterday. Let me check.
It turns you into a little psycho. I hear you.
Oh my, this guy made me the most psycho. I hit him. Like I was the most psycho I've ever been.
Yeah. Wow. Well, because it's a true, it's an evil trick that somebody could do to make you feel stupid. And when you have that instinct of no, but I'm right. Those are at odds with each other and you will go stop at nothing to make sure you know, like, I'm not crazy. This is what he's doing, right?
And it was also like, why? And there's something really fucked up because you're like, why do I still want to fight this? Why do I want to
be
with
him?
Why
do I want to be here? Why don't I just walk away?
Maybe being right. I've often wondered that about me.
Yeah.
I think being right, I really like being right.
Being right like makes you horny? Or
No. I want to prove, I want everybody in the room to be all in an agreement that you were lying to me and I wasn't crazy. Because I easily feel crazy. I think that's why.
Yeah.
I think now I just walk away. I just go, okay. Like, I actually did something recently where I just like, someone was obviously wrong and crazy and I just go, okay, I hope you find whatever it is you need.
What does that feel like?
And I just, that's,
that was mature.
I put the phone down.
Oh, I wish I could.
Because it's just not worth your energy at this time. It's like, I don't need this person. I don't need any person. I'm fine.
I'm working on stuff like that, like releasing negativity and trying to like just...
Yeah, for how angry I get often, I'm actually not like actively angry at anybody.
That's good. That's really
just,
good.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't serve you.
It just doesn't matter.
This is true. Nothing really matters.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's kind of what I live on. Yeah.
I don't know why I want to pick these dumb fights or stand on these dumb pedestals. Where
I don't know.
Like,
it's kind of, it's, I don't know, but I hear you.
I know. Me and Robbie got into the dumbest fight over the other day just because of, he took a picture of himself in front of a train stop and I saw like part of the words. I was like, what stop are you at? He's like, the 7. I was like, what stop? He's like, heading into the city. And I was like, what? Stop! And it turned into a fight because I was like, why don't you know how to answer fucking questions, Bob? Like, it turns into this crazy thing when it's just like a weird lack of like, but I'm like, why did I care that he didn't answer?
Right.
Like,
well, I was, nah, you have
sorry,
the tick.
Sorry, scream into the mic.
No. I understand. I feel like I've had those fights.
But it was just like, I just
like a control. You have a, are you like a control freak?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm a control. Yeah. I need control. And if I don't feel like I'm in control, I panic and I freak out. And I get, I panic via anger.
Yeah. And I just, but I also don't know why it mattered.
Right, because it didn't.
I mean,
nothing.
Then it snowballs into a whole other thing, and then I'm just like, "I love you. What am I doing?"
Yeah, I know.
And then I'm
but you got, but you have to come out of that. It's like you're in this bubble of anger, and something has to burst it for you to see the person and like, oh, hey, I'm sorry.
I know, and it's and
there's a fine line between like, fuck you, and oh, I'm sorry, I love you.
It's it's also but you're right. Like none of it didn't matter. Like it was just, it was the dumbest thing, but it just like it triggered, you know, like you just get triggered from certain ways of communication
and stuff is very triggering because you can see so many like facts, and like even if someone like makes a mistake and says something wrong, it feels like a lie. You're like, oh,
I know, I couldn't even imagine trying. Like when I got to New York, I was like, I'm gonna do Tinder and I'm gonna try this out, I'm gonna do internet dating. I'd never done it before, and I just can't imagine because you can see, you learn so much. You
wait, I thought you and Robbie moved to New York together. No,
we did.
They weren't
dating. We weren't dating at the time.
Oh, that's okay.
We moved.
They were roommates that became lovers.
See, I thought that happened in LA. Gotcha.
No, we had the I think we were talking about this earlier. We had a sloppy hookup. Didn't date for 4 years. Got here. Drove across country. First night, we didn't have beds. We got hammered and made out because we were like, we have to get hammered. We're sleeping on the floor. We made out and then we were kind of. And then Amy went out of town.
We have to get hammered. We're sleeping on the floor.
We don't have beds. We have to get hammered. We went to Rudy's on 9th because it's like $3 beer. And then Amy went to LA for like 2 weeks and we kind of just had the apartment to ourselves, and it was like we just did a lot of exploring, and then kind of like within a month I think I got a show and got buzzed, and I came home and I'm like, I want you to be my boyfriend, and then we were like, okay.
That's how you guys became boyfriend girlfriend?
Yeah,
drunk asks are the best.
Yeah,
and then he like, was okay. Like okay,
yeah. Aww. Yeah, well, because I think he had already said like I love you or something.
Whoa!
Because we had known each other for 4 years, and so I think like
I say I love you to my friends.
Yeah, and so he said it like pretty early on, and then
but he said I love you like in a romantic way, because I say I love you to like I said I love you to John Campanelli yesterday, but I didn't mean it in that way. I meant it like I have a deep love for him as a human.
No, he said it in a romantic way pretty early on, but. So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, maybe there was already stuff. Like, because we were really good friends in LA. You know, we would go and hang out together all the time and, like, go to movies, go to dinner. So I don't know if just, like, separating ourselves from a different world.
I've always wanted to fall in love with a friend, but it's just never going to happen.
I know.
I'm just so not in love with any of my friends.
It took a minute.
Make a new friend and then fall in love with that friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took a minute to kind of go over that hump, though. It is hard. It is hard. Because for a while, I was like... would only see him as my friend, and I was like, this is weird, I know what your wiener looks like, you know, it was just like
your wiener.
Yeah, I was like,
what was this exploring that was going on when Amy was out of town
on the floor?
We would just do some stuff
like explore each other's buttholes
not, you know, I'm actually not that comfortable with butt play. Mm-hmm. So
on you or him?
Both.
Why did something happen?
No. I just always have felt a little bit,
that's for exiting.
Yeah, although apparently I think when I am like that hammered, I think sometimes I love
put it in my butt. I know I like to scream that too.
And then
I don't mean it, but when you're blackout drunk is the only time that anal can even feel good.
I think just like licking, like just trying
licking
to like some little finger play. I think sometimes if I'm like really hammered and I like blow them, I might like squabble down there. But for the most part, I don't.
Squabble?
I don't even, that's Casey. Probably not the, well, he's like, that's so not Casey. Even the word. Yeah, squabbling, but I don't even know if that's true.
Squabbling, you know, around, I know, his asshole like a
I
peasant.
I know with ex-boyfriends.
On the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Squabbling. With ex-boyfriends, I've gone down and maybe done, but only when I'm drunk. Because like, I think when I'm sober, I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah.
Which is weird.
Well, like, no, I get it. I just know that a guy's, if you put a finger up a guy's ass, it can feel so good.
I know. That was my friend's move. So, she would always do that with
and
guys.
But apparently, and this is rapey, but you don't ask. We were, I don't know, who was I talking to? You about this?
Yeah, but you can't do that. Like, this is my problem.
What do you mean? Do what? Ask?
You can't put your finger in someone's butt without asking. You can't.
Wait, you just said, though, when we were having a conversation that you shouldn't ask. Or no, wait, was that?
That was not me. Oh,
okay.
I would never. I am not very pro butt play for straight dudes.
So I was talking to somebody and they were like,
unless they're into it. Unless they're into it. If you ask me to do it or if you imply that you want, absolutely. But if you say no,
well, if you say
I'm
no,
going to take your no and not and, try. And,
well, that's, yeah. I agree.
Because and I would expect listen. The same. Because if someone fucking tried to put something in my ass, I would put them in, if someone tried to do something that I didn't want done, I would slap them.
Now, I think the situation I was talking with this girl, she was like, the guy was kind of hinting that would be cool maybe one day, and so I just did it.
That was a question like, that was something that someone said at our show in DC. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Maybe, possibly.
Yeah, because I was like,
on stage.
Because I was like, should I be applauding right now? Or
yeah,
is this an assault that we just heard about?
I know.
I'm very conflicted.
Yeah, well, because she stuck her finger in
something. Well, you know when like a guy, you know when you're fucking a guy and you very quickly realize, oh, you know what you're doing. Like, you know your way around a body. You know your way around a woman's body.
Or you're just intuitive. Like, you're responding to movements and, like,
Mm-hmm. I would just, sometimes there's something in, like, you do what you want. I don't care.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people have sex the way that they think they should be having it for the other person.
Yeah. Men don't relinquish control a lot of the times, I feel, in bed. Let me take over. And you just lay back and relax.
Yeah. 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 I think there's so many people that just kind of like read to that, like, you know, go by the cosmos stuff. I remember I tried to do, you know, try and do things without, because I didn't have an orgasm, I don't think, for like the first like 5 years I was having sex. I didn't even know what they were and all that stuff.
Really?
So it's like, I think a lot of people, especially now that I'm older, I'm kind of like, listen, if giving me an orgasm means that I'm like barely moving, like this is what's going to happen because I'm going to get there. Like, so however I do it.
Sometimes you got to stay really still because you can't let them leave the spot.
Sometimes you got to be really still.
I'll be like in a bridge and I'll be like, okay.
You're like, this is the one. Yeah.
I'm not moving, but this feels great.
Yeah. But I think for many years, I only had sex for the guy to get it. Like, it was more important.
That's common.
And then you were thinking about how you were looking or how you came off.
Yeah. Because like, I wasn't even intuitive with my body, you know? And then all of a sudden I found out what an orgasm was. And I was like, oh, I don't even need you for this.
Yeah.
Like, when did you start having sex?
I think I lost my virginity when I was 16.
Okay. To who? Why'd you fall asleep?
Because
that's what happened when you first had sex.
Disgusted. I think I'm just disgusted by the whole situation.
You're disgusted by yourself, but everything nothing you have said so far is alarming at all.
It's out there. I know. I think, you know, when you just go through it yourself, you're just like, you know, this is such a weird thing.
It's just not the future you had planned for yourself.
Yeah, I took a religion class.
It's not Wuthering Heights.
I know. But you do. Yeah. You think you're stronger than it. Like, I remember, so I went to Catholic school. I took a religion class sophomore year, and it was like for the first semester. And I was convinced that I was going to wait till I was married. I was like, I want this to be someone I loved. And then the next semester, I fucked some guy named Brad.
What a sentence.
Like, it was crazy.
Brad's a hot name.
Brad, yeah, but he was an asshole. I bled all over this girl's bed.
A girl's bed?
Brad. I know. I bled all over his shirt to where this is the whole, like,
where'd you fuck in a random girl's dorm room?
It was like a girl, like a friend, like we all drank 40s at some park, you know, and then we went back to this girl's house and I was like, oh, I might as well get it over with. And then
Brad,
the next person I have sex with will mean it. I was like, let me just get this over with Brad. It's so funny. And we fucked and I bled, and then I bled all over his shirt. And then
why didn't Brad take his shirt off to fuck?
Brad's got it.
I think
re-evaluate.
He did, but I think there was just a lot. I think it
just
was,
blood was squirting everywhere.
I just think that he might have used it to wipe. I don't know, but he got to his friend's house and the friends were like, oh, Brad, did you get shot? It was like this whole thing. And then I went to summer school.
In the puss.
Yeah. And then I went to summer school with his friends and they pretended to shoot me from all over the quad. They were like, bang, bang. Like, it was a whole thing that they were like,
because you shot Brad with your virginity blood.
Yes. And so then they would pretend to shoot me. It was a whole, I mean, 16 and 17 year old boys that we're dealing with.
That sounds about right.
But yeah, that virginity. And then I don't even remember who the second person was. outside on a in Yosemite with a guy I just met. So it wasn't special at all.
Wait.
Wow.
So wait, sex, you know, sex doesn't have to be like special.
No, it didn't. But I think starting off my sexual journey with two people that didn't give a fuck, I just kind of kept doing it.
Did you meet this guy in the park? The second guy in Yosemite?
No, he was like, we were with friends, and I think he was like a friend, like he
friend
was
of a friend.
He was with our, not a friend, not like, not I think even. He might have even been somebody's like stepbrother. And I was like, just on a deck in Yosemite.
Those are always
with
the
my
best
friend's
people, though, because you're like so tired of seeing the same dumb faces. Yeah. And then someone new shows up, and you're like, oh, thank God. Oh,
also, you know, you're so bold when you're 16. I think I was just like jacking them off at a picnic table, like while other people were sitting there.
I was not that bold at 16.
Like, nah, I did that. I would like make out when I was 16. I would make out with like 22-year-olds in hot tubs.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm the best girl in the world.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny. I was talking to somebody about that the other day, and we were talking about something that happened with like an older guy like hitting on a 17-year-old, and people are like, that's gross. And then I think about like when I was 17, I was like, I definitely had sex with people in their
20s, 100%,
you know, like when I was
I did not trust anyone over 18 who was interested in me, and I was like, oh, you're a loser and you've never had a real job.
That's fair,
because that to me, it was just at 16, I was like, there was this one girl in my high school who was, you know, at like 16 or 17 dating some guy who was like 25 and in college, and I was like, this 25. Person has a fucking problem.
Yeah. You're like, don't you know anyone your own age?
No, he doesn't. He loves me.
Oh my God.
I'm the only one who can love him like I do.
It's honestly so crazy to think that we're even allowed to make any decisions when we're 16.
You can drive. I mean, that's insane.
I think we should all be homeschooled. Nobody should be able to see people of the other sex.
We all have to.
Nobody should.
We all have to get through it, you know?
I know. Feel
like I do think about it, and I'm like, you know what? I would have been, my education would have gone a lot better if I was in an all-girls school.
That's interesting.
I truly think that I would have really learned a lot more.
I got into an all-girls school and I was going to go, but then I got into the school I wanted to go to. But
wait, for high school?
Yeah, for high school.
Oh, you had to get in? Oh, you get accepted.
Because to Catholic schools, to like college prep schools. So yeah. So I got into like an all-girls school and I was kind of bummed because I was also like, I had my first kiss when I was also in ninth grade. You know, like I didn't like all my, but I also went to a public school where my friends were like full on fingering each other and fucking and doing all this stuff. So I felt like I was behind the times.
Oh,
when people would be like,
yeah.
Casey, have you ever kissed someone? I'd be like, yeah. And I was like lying in eighth grade when like, that's perfectly fine, I guess, you know?
My first kiss is also in ninth grade.
Yeah, because you fucked so young, but then you kissed kind of late.
Because I think, I mean, I had a mustache growing up. I was
we were
like,
very similar.
Girl, and I felt like I was awkward. So no guys, all my guy friends like,
why did you shave the mustache?
I did everything. I still have to do shit with it. But I like literally, I remember the guy I had a crush on from like kindergarten to sixth grade would be like, I would never kiss Casey because my braces would get stuck in her mustache.
Oh, that's so cruel.
And also logistically not even correct.
And that's dumb.
No,
that's
I'm like, you shouldn't be trying to eat my lip. Yeah.
But and so also the hair, how thick would the hair have to be for braces to get stuck? I mean,
know.
It would have
We're
to be
like Pedro.
A full bush.
You would have to, I would have to full on have like the hair.
Tom Selleck's
whatever.
Stash.
Yes,
Being
I would.
Idiot. Yeah,
I kicked him in the nuts. And that was, I think, how
you did? You kicked him in the nuts?
Oh, yeah. And I think
did you march up to him
started.
From the other end of the hallway and you're
no,
like
full on in the yard, like I remember being like, I heard that's what you said, and he's like, meh. Yeah, and I think I just kicked him right in the nuts and he went down and it was
did
like
you get
a
in trouble?
Whole thing. I don't think so.
Whoa.
Nobody's watching. You know, there's a whole, it's K-6. There's too many kids, 2 PE teachers. Like nobody cares.
And that's an embarrassing thing to like say to someone, like she kicked me in the nuts. So you usually keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
If you make sure the violence is embarrassing, people won't tell.
Yeah. And there were a couple people around, but like,
well, that's why
it's so funny when I trace the comedy back, I'm like, did people laugh at that? And this is why we're at where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
But so nobody felt me sexually. Like I felt like boys didn't pay attention to me. Till eighth grade.
Just because the mustache?
And
you kicked the
balls.
And maybe they knew about that.
Even
and like,
in seventh and eighth
ass.
Grade, like I felt like I didn't have any prospects. Like, and so when I got to ninth grade and people, there was a whole new pool of people and people thought I was cute. I was just I was just making out with every jagging, doing it. Like I was just
jagging
people off. This high school, the other high school. And then just, and I think it's just, I was
Casey's
I was
high school tour.
I'm jacking off on swings. Yeah.
How'd you even know what to do with a penis though? The first time.
I
mean, so on.
I think you just.
Well, I read it up on the internet, and then I was like, when I saw it in person, I was like, this is much different than this, these photos would have implied.
Do you like giving hand jobs?
No.
Oh, because you've done it a lot.
When I was young, I mean, I just felt like that was just what
I hated it. I always hate it.
I still think it's kind of magical when you touch a wiener and it gets hard in your hands. But then
it's amazing.
It's
so beautiful. Like, oh, no, you twist. Nice? You put lube in your hand and then you spit a little and then you do the twisting and the up and down.
Well, it's sure, like, sure. You know, you twist, you do the lube, you do all that. But now, yes,
I got my signature move.
Yeah. Apparently. I know, sometimes I just like to get Robbie hard and then I'll like leave the room or something, you know. That's just kind of fun. Feel like, he's like,
Casey,
to feel
coming
it.
Back?
Oh, I forgot I have to do something right now.
Yeah. But no, in high school, I didn't know what I was doing. But also, I feel like 16-year-old boys, they just...
They're just happy just to have a woman's just, hand like, near their penis.
Me. Yeah.
They don't care.
That's what I'm saying. And I didn't have lube at this, at like, you know,
keg I've never used lube on a hand job.
Oh, it's great.
I just spit in my hand and it's all awesome.
Christine's
like, let me tell you. Yeah.
It's like a water park. It's wonderful.
Well, because I don't give hand jobs anymore because I'm 32.
Oh, I do. Right. All damn day.
Nah. Mm-mm. I'm like,
still doing it.
Come over Christina's house.
Come over. Let's go skiing. No,
like, as my, I just put it in my mouth because we don't have time for this nonsense.
I know. But even sometimes going down on people, I've lost my attention span going down on guys too. Well, not guys, just Robbie. Really. not guys, but I
your
mean, like,
attention span.
I feel like that used to be like, again, like,
just like I've seen this before.
I feel like whenever I would make out with a guy, I would instantly go down. Like, it was always my move. And then I just, it's like now it's like,
you must have been popular.
That's how you get a nickname in high school. Yeah,
mine was whipped cream.
Wait, what?
For apparently something that I don't remember doing.
What?
So
please
that.
Explain. What did you apparently not do?
You know, it's one of the, you know how, it's like the group of guys that you kind of just make your way through them throughout high school, you know?
And I wasn't that lucky.
You guys know about those
guys,
right?
No one from my high school, but yeah.
Oh my God. There was this group of guys that were like older, that had already graduated, and everybody just kind of made their way through certain ones of them.
Where was this? What town are we in?
San Francisco.
Okay.
All right.
Shout out to all you guys. there was like a group of guys and we'd go like party with them. And I think I'd made out with like a couple different ones. And one time, apparently one of their friends walked in the room and sprayed whipped cream or something like that. But then there was
in the air.
I think they had just had it sprayed it on us. And then I think there was a rumor that I licked it off of somebody. But I was like, I don't think I did that. I was like, I don't remember doing that. But every time I'd go to a party, I'd hear whipped cream. And I was like, what is happening here? And I didn't. And I was like, what are you guys saying that for?
They're but
like,
I mean, were you blacking like, out at this point already?
The thing is, I think I was like asleep. And I think we had already, like, I already like made out with the guy hooked up. And I think then his friends came in and we kind of like maybe woke up and made out again. But then his friends came and like sprayed it on us or claimed that I did something. And I was like, so I'm saying, like, all these situations that are
murky
just
waters.
Very murky waters.
Yeah.
Very murky waters. But
man, that gray area, you know, it exists. It exists hard. It exists for everybody, and it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
people get real comfortable talking about it. But I'm like, I mean, I've been in that.
But as long as you feel like you've never been sexually assaulted, you're fine. It's really how you feel.
I mean, I have been.
Exactly. It's like if I look back at certain things, I'm probably, I would probably say yes, but because I wasn't ever in the mind frame of like, and I don't know if it's just because I beat myself, but I was never in the victim mind frame after any of these experiences, like except for one.
You were always like, I probably really fucked that guy up.
I like never, I was never, every time I left something, I was like, that was weird, but I never was like, this is not something I didn't bring on myself.
Right.
You know?
Like, yeah, because you're not blaming yourself or like experiencing trauma from the events. I think those are the things you're looking for.
No, like I said, it was always just kind of like more like embarrassment and a little bit of shame from like just my own feelings about being drunk and making out with people in public, or like did we make out in front of other friends, was this weird, did we fall down, where were we,
you gotta learn about it.
Did the cab driver see anything? That was always where my my embarrassment was. Never, I mean, except for that, yeah, like I'd get embarrassed to see coworkers, but it was never from like what I did. It was always from like just that I was drunk enough to do it or something. You know what I mean? Like that, and that's where my anxiety would lie.
Although it's so like, fun to get drunk and just be like, well, we'll see where this goes.
Totally.
So you're kind of like a wild drunk. So how in a relationship, like, is there just like, are you just very good about staying like not
making
monogamous
out with other people?
I actually don't know. Cause I think about, I'm like, I don't know.
I always say the same thing about myself. And I'm like, how the fuck did you get
through this? Have I not made out
with
anybody? Yeah. No, I honestly, I don't know, because sometimes I'll black out and I'll be like, because normally in a blackout, I try to make out with everybody, and I've clearly been blacked out, and that's
You weren't making out with anybody. We're just crawling on the bar.
We're just crawling,
having
a
good time.
We're just
turning the fans.
Turning the fans. We're very hot. I don't know. I don't know if maybe there's just a switch in if my brain would that have, just got shut off.
Oh, maybe. That's true. Like, but like, I don't know. I always think about like, if someone makes out with somebody and they're like wasted, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm also single, so.
You just don't want to make it a habit, though.
No, and I would never want to have anybody. Hurtful. I would never want to compromise Robbie in a way where people would be like,
hurt him.
No, and I would never want it to be like, oh yeah, she just gets hit. Like, you know, this is it. Like, I would never want somebody to think less of our relationship just because I was making dumb drunk decisions. Like, so I think maybe in my head it's more of like a, I would never want to do that to him. Like,
yeah,
I would never want anybody to think that I think less of my relationship to do that, you know?
I understand that.
Yeah, but it is, yeah.
How was the conversation with him about like, hey, you want to have a baby?
I don't know. I feel like it. I feel like there might have been tears. A couple times, probably. Yes.
Oh, really?
I think there's definitely times when I brought it up. But I think there was times when I would just cry and I was like, I just want, I like something. And I think it took him a minute to come around to ideas. And, you know, because I'm like, bitch, like, this is a couple, like, we're not even talking about, like, I need you to at least, like, we have to at least be saying that we're working towards something. And I think it took a minute for him to kind of wrap his brain around a forever relationship, even though he's like, I don't want to break up. I don't want to do this. But I think he just needed a little bit of like switches in his brain to go off and be like,
oh, this is what this is.
Yes.
Because it was weird to go baby before marriage or engagement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you even want to get married or engaged?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I want to. I just, you know, it's also one of those things. I'm like, I've been to enough weddings. I feel like I just, you know.
Yeah,
I feel like I'd like a party, and I don't know if I'm like, do I want to be married or do I want a party? And I have to, you know, figure that out. But I think a little bit of both. But the baby thing, it kind of became this thing where I was like, I'm old, I'm older, and
yeah. How old is he?
It's just 1 year younger, so he's 30, 35, or I think it's like a year and a half, so he might be 30.
No, it's good 35. To have a baby with someone who's aging.
Yeah, I think so.
When's his birthday, Casey?
May 10th, 1983 84 somewhere like that. But
amazing.
Yeah, but yeah, no, the baby talk. And I think because he said he does want that, and then I think, like I said, when we were first trying, I think it was kind of like, and then I think when he saw that I was like very affected every time I got my period, he's like, oh, okay, you're bummed. This is Yeah, and we did get an argument about him getting the test, and you know, because Robbie's very much like, don't tell me what to do, I'll do it. But when somebody says that enough and then they don't do something, then that's when I start to go.
Oh, the test on his sperm.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, this is important to me. And I'm like, why is this the card you're pulling right now of like the, like, don't tell me what to do? I'm like, that's just hurtful. And I think he was like, whoops, you know, like I think he got that. He's like, oh, don't do that.
I feel
right
like
now.
Men perceive women like asking them things as nagging so often, but it's like, just not, I'm just asking you like to do it.
Yeah,
but also, you know, do more stuff, men.
But or just take the initiative, just show me that I don't have to ask you to do something. And that's where I, you know, my thing. And but it always feels like nagging because he never asks for help and I always do, so then it always just feels like I'm
well
the
he's
one.
Not maybe not good at it then maybe he's not good at asking for help.
Yes. And then so I've told him, I'm like, you can like say, I tell me things.
You don't have to be the rock.
Talk to me. Yeah, yeah. You're not. Yeah, you
men
don't have
ask
to be
for help.
The...
They just struggle so much in front of us that we're like, I guess I will handle this.
Here's the lifesaver. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we took it and all that stuff. And now I think everybody's like firing on all, like that we're all on the same page. And, you know, I've talked to my dad about it. He's talked to his dad about it and things like that.
Just the dads?
Yeah. Just the dads.
Isn't that weird? No, I know. Isn't that weird?
Are your parents together?
No.
Oh, so you have not told your mom that you're trying to have
me? No, she's got a lot. She's a little wacky. And I love my mom. I mean, just bipolar, like just a little wacky. And she's like dealing with my grandpa's ailing health. And she's just got a lot of, you know, things that, I mean, I think it's not like a secret. Like, you know, she knows me and Robert together and that's the next steps that we're taking. But I don't really talk to her about it because, you know, you tell your mom you're trying to get pregnant and the next thing I have a box full of, you know, Goodwill baby clothes that she sent me. She'd be like, I found these at the thrift store. I'd be like, okay.
What did Robbie's dad say?
I think he just is kind of like, I think he just told him and then Robbie's like, of course he doesn't like, he hasn't stopped, like, don't shut up about it now, you know, but
his dad.
Yeah. I think he asks about it all the time.
Are Robbie's parents also separated?
No, they're together.
Oh, the mom didn't know.
I think he probably told his mom too, because his parents.
Do you like his parents?
I do like his parents.
That's lucky.
Yeah, I do.
It's
like
nice
his parents.
When you like the person's parents, because that's just pure luck.
Yeah, it is nice, and they're very kind to me. Shulio, his mom always sends me like earrings and necklaces and stuff like that, and it's very
that's
fun.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, yeah, she always gives me all kinds of jewelry from like Israel or England or wherever she's going. So it's very fun.
Do they live in Israel?
Right now, they do.
Okay,
they're in Israel right now.
Have you been?
Yes, mm-hmm. We went a little while ago because his sister and his brother live there as well.
Oh, cool! So, I didn't realize he was Israeli. Okay.
So his mom's Israeli, yeah. His dad's South African. So
fun.
So it's very. That's why, like, he grew up just completely different, like traveling, and he lived everywhere, and it's like bizarre.
Yeah, because you're always traveling a lot.
Yeah, I didn't travel till before I was with him, and now it's kind of like one of those things.
It's fun to travel as a couple.
It's so fun.
It's really good when you're good. Different. I mean, I guess some couples, I guess they don't travel well together. I don't know, but like, oh, Steven and I traveled. Perfect,
the best, because it's like just date nights with no other distractions, like it's just every night you're going out to cute dinners. And I feel like sometimes, like this last trip me and Robbie took to Croatia, we were just like talking like as if we had first started dating. Like there were certain things that we were like talking about, and you know, when you get back to New York, it's fun for a while, and then everybody goes back into their comfort zone, but it is nice for like, you know, that week to be kind of like cute and fun, and then something happens and you're like, oh yeah, our bathroom's
dirty. There's something nice about discovering something new together, exploring something new together.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why, like, I don't even like watching like a movie, like when I'm like dating someone, I don't like watching like a movie one of us has already seen, because I'm like, well, then we're not like experiencing something new together.
Yeah,
and I think that's like a great way to bond.
Yeah, always be. Yeah, so you also have something to talk about. That's why sometimes I'm bummed about being a comedian, because what a great fucking date night to like, for regular people, you know, to go out to not really have to, like, it's something that they can enjoy together.
Oh,
you get
I still
a little
go to comedy
buzz.
Shows. I do will you? Still buy a ticket to the Cellar and go with someone who's.
I will go by myself all the time.
I will go. Or Gotham's a great one to go to because it's
Gotham
so big that you can really kind of like get into the crowd and not be noticed.
Yeah,
but you can do it.
You can't. Like I would. I've done. Like me and him actually did go see a comedy show in Scotland. But I just. It's like such a good thing. I feel like because you then like after there's so much to talk about.
So much.
You know what I mean? And I feel like sometimes you just take that fun part out. Like, you know, I think when we watch comedy, we obviously watch it in
we
a different way.
We critique it or we, yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
yeah.
different way. Or
but
we
if
know
you go
everybody.
To like the Cellar, have you ever bought a ticket to the Comedy Cellar?
I actually have. Yeah,
oh,
me and
so
Amy,
much fun.
When we first moved here, we went and went down there. And,
if
like,
you have a cocktail,
hummus.
I can remove myself from Comedy Cellar. I actually can still
you?
Enjoy it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's nice.
But I understand that there was a time in film school, like at 4 years in, when I like couldn't watch a movie anymore. Like for a year, I didn't watch a movie because I was just
you just could see too much of
every
it.
Part of it. And I was like, this is not fun. This is not productive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, with that's it, but you can still do it with comedy.
Comedy, I got, because there's just so many good people in New York, so it's not like,
they
I
take
mean,
it, it's easy for them to allow you to get lost in it.
This is true.
There's so many great comics in New York.
If I'm at a bad comedy show, it's hard to concentrate, but at a good one, it's not a problem.
Then you leave.
Right.
But, you know.
But going to one in a different country was interesting, because that was a lot different and interesting, and so that was kind of fun. But again, we didn't talk about it as, like, these jokes, we talked about it as, like, on, like, the comic
this
side
beat
of
was
it.
There, yeah. Well, you could critique it, you know, intellectually from that standpoint.
Totally. But I just think it is such
a fun
date
dating
night.
A comic, though. I think I feel like comics dating comics, that makes so much sense to me.
It does. And I get why people would say I would never. I get that, because there's a few screws
loose.
We all got
all
of us.
Loose.
Yeah. But also, I just don't understand. It's like being able to talk to somebody about just talking about a word, being like, oh, I did they instead of there, and it changed the premise. And he'll be like, got it.
Yeah.
But if I were to try to explain that to somebody, they'd be like, I don't fucking understand what you're saying.
Who cares? Just say it.
So there's something really nice in that.
Yeah,
but it's like then sometimes though our schedules are like kind of weirdly opposite, or both of us at home sometimes gets a little like Groundhog Day, like during the day, you know? It's like I'm like one of us has to leave, or one of us needs to have the apartment by themselves, or like something, you know?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever say to each other like, hey, you gotta get out of here?
Yeah,
or,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, every day I wake up and you're just sitting there.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I couldn't deal with that.
And being a couple living with a roommate,
oh yeah,
that can blow.
Yeah,
for the poor roommate, I always feel bad for the roommate, because I'm like, man, I don't try to keep quiet around you in terms of like fighting or anything. I just talk as if you're not there, which
I know.
Is rude.
Sometimes I do feel bad. I mean, luckily she's also in comedy, so she kind of gets like some of it.
Yeah,
but I do feel bad if we're like having something and she's like in her room or something like that. But yeah, it's always, I feel like it's always phases too. Like sometimes I want him out of the house, and sometimes he'll go somewhere and I'm like, where are you going?
Wait, come back.
Yeah, it's just like we're never satisfied.
I know.
You know?
I know.
It's part of the thing.
Yeah, it's like a rotation of emotions. Yeah, you're like, I want this one today.
Yeah, it really is. It's like sometimes. I'm just like, everything about you is great. And sometimes I'm like, if you talk to me, watch out. Like, I feel like I'm going to punch you in the fucking face.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how quickly you can go from like anti the person existing even.
Yeah.
And then to like, but wait, come over here.
I know, especially when you think about having a baby. Because like, there's times when I'm like, when I hate him and I'm like, we're going to have a baby. And there's times when I love him, I'm like, we're going to have a baby. You know, it's just, it's like such a mental.
I feel like when you're constantly with somebody and in their presence for that amount of hours a day, you can't. Yeah, of course it's going to go like that.
Yeah.
Being alone, living alone is like so life changing. I'm like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have a baby and then stay with a roommate? And because you have one room, right? I'm worried for you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think obviously if that were to happen, there would be a whole mess of things that we would have to figure out. Yeah. But it's kind of just like.
Because if I was living with someone and then they had a baby, I was like, this is a different living arrangement.
And I think Amy has said to people, she's like, well, you know, if they eventually get pregnant, have a baby, I'll have to move out, or like, you know, something, things will have to change. But like I said, right now it's all just like nothing has happened. We all still like live pretty harmoniously together and we're in the same business, so it's nice. Mm-hmm. And Amy's such a chill roommate because a lot of times she's just in her room, you know, like or she's at the club or doing something, and you know, we'll all have like powwows in the kitchen and just like talk shit about everybody, which is very
so fun.
Amy's the booker at New York Comedy Club, just for everyone listening, because we kept saying Amy and everyone's Amy?
Yeah, and if you're a comic and you send her an email, I know what it says.
Yay, that's so fun. You get the inside
chill
tips.
Out. Yeah.
Oh my God, I would love to know how neurotic other comics are, because then that would make me feel like, oh, I am the chillest bitch
crazy
in the land. Is it more men or women?
I mean, I think just, I don't think that all of them. I think crazy knows no bounds when it comes to trying to book
That's
spots.
That's very true.
Well, yeah. I think men are, I've men heard from like a lot of bookers, that men are more aggressive. There's, I mean, there's also just a lot more men in comedy.
Yeah, so. And I think a lot of them are a little more entitled, whereas women are kind of like, please and thank you. Oh, can I have that? And the guys are just like, I don't understand why you won't book me because I'm really good. And you're like, okay. You know, like things like that.
All right.
But
also, so good I book, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's that logic.
Yeah, it's like if I saw you and you were good, yeah, you would be on the stage. But
what's the craziest sexual thing you and Robbie have done? Like crazy, crazy good, crazy bad.
Well, when we were in Croatia, we had like, that's, I think we, it was like we had a little, we had some drinks the night before. And then it was like the next day we were walking around. We were both a little hungover and there was a ton of pigeons in a small area. And I was like, I have to go inside. It was just something like, I just couldn't, there was too many people and too many pigeons. And I was like, so we went inside for a little bit and we kind of just were like half napping. But then we were just like, kind of like having, or maybe was it the night before? No, I think it was the night we had had too much. And we just kind of like had very long, like sensual kind of sex. And that was like, I think the first time he like licked my butt. And so it was kind of fun. And all my girlfriends like, how was your vacation? I'm like, good. Robbie licked my butt and we saw a beautiful ocean. And that was like the only time
when
I've
he licked
been...
your butt, were you like, ooh, or did you not verbally acknowledge
well, you know,
it in
Robbie's
the moment?
Such a nerd. Like I keep telling this joke about how he uses his regular voice during sex. So it's never like,
oh no.
Like, so somebody said like, could you scooch down? And I'm like, I'm like, I need you to just do something where it's not like you're
change
like,
the tone
like,
a little.
Or you're not like, fly, well, should you get some bread today? Or something. Like,
give me that
go
pussy.
Grocery shopping. And he's like, go ahead and scoot down. But so I think like he was doing, he's like licking my butt and I must have gotten like wet or something. He's like, that seemed to work. And I was like, Rob, stop. You know, that seemed to work. And I was like, I can't.
Because it's so funny because this is fucked up.
You do have to
have
a different tone.
I do think about like the couples I know who are, especially who are comics, I do like try to think like, how are they having sex together?
Think about that a lot.
And like, I really can't, not that Robbie is like very handsome, I just can't imagine him having sex. He's so stoic.
I know.
All the time.
I know.
Like, and I just am like, how does
he's
he
He's very
fuck?
Intuitive. He's very much a giver. Like,
that's
you know,
great.
Which is nice. And he's very much like, you know, he, it's surprising actually. Like, you know,
okay.
he will like, you know, he'll tickle the back of my legs or my back or like do things where it's just like, if I was like certain things that feel good on yourself that you're kind of like, nobody's ever going to know to just like rub the outside
of
your lips.
Yeah, well, it's a
lips,
relationship
but, like, he kind of
thing.
Figures it out.
Yeah.
You know? When you're, so it's, Yeah, it's fun. So it's but you know, sometimes we very much have sex for function. You know, sometimes it's very much just kind of like a you know,
baby making.
Yeah, or just like, you know, sometimes you just do it to do it, and it's then there's an other times get it
in.
When
we haven't
like,
fucked in a while. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sometimes obviously smoking pot makes it a little bit more intense and enjoyable. So it's so funny when he smokes before I go to bed. I'm like, I know what's gonna happen tonight. Like, I know he's gonna try and do stuff. But
you ever like go to bed and then you just wake up because you're getting poked?
Like, sometimes he'll aggressively just like honk my tit, and I'll be like, okay, all right, I'm loud and clear, buddy, loud and clear. But I guess it makes up for all the times that I come home drunk and just like choke him awake.
I was gonna say, yeah, no, I used to do a bit about how Steve used to follow me around and hump me like a dog, like, hey, Christina, you making a sandwich?
Can you make me a sandwich? Yeah, but Croatia was just kind of like a very long, lengthy, just kind of like session where we just were like, it just kind of went on. And I generally don't like a long session. You know, like I
long session.
I don't generally.
How long do you like your sex?
You know, I mean, I think 15 minutes is like the top bracket. Yeah. I mean,
top really. Oh,
15 is like average for me.
I would say 20 is my sweet spot.
Is your sweet spot?
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on where we're at. Like how you know, it really does. As it's like, sometimes I'll be tired, but as we start to have sex, I'm like, oh, I like that. You know, like I never regret
having sex.
I never regret
but
it.
But to go over the hump, though, take a lot of brain power. But then once you're over it, you're like, oh, I'm glad I did this.
Yeah. After it's over, you're just like, that was fine. Yeah. That was great.
Well, you have to get wet. Once you're wet, I think it's easy. But like before you're wet, if you're not in the mood, that's a long journey.
I mean, that's just like.
Yeah, it is a long.
Terrible.
Yeah. Because sometimes when I smoke pot, like sometimes it's harder for me to do that, even though when I'm high, like the orgasms are great, you know.
Yeah, but you don't get as wet.
But I don't get as wet, so it's interesting. But yeah, I don't like I don't always like a whole night long thing. I'm like,
let's just fuck, and then so we can pop popcorn and watch a movie.
But like, if we get two in there, if it ends up being like a half hour and we do two,
you're just like booking your night. It's really funny.
So technical. Yeah, I'm like, you know, I still want to see what's happening at the end of Gilmore Girls. So like, let's just make sure we're not too tired.
I know. After that, you know? Got that little like, post sex plan in the back of your mind before you even fuck.
Sometimes he'll start to have sex, and then I'm like, I'm watching, and then he'll turn it off, and I'm like, but then there's other times when I'm like, let's get down to this.
Sex
is just so funny. It really does ebb
and flow. It's funny and
sometimes
it's fun.
Sometimes I'm just like, this is fine.
Yeah.
But I love masturbating.
Oh, masturbating will never be terrible. It will always be the best.
Every single time.
So how do you handle masturbating when you have so many people and like Robbie lives in your room, yeah?
Yeah, but he sleeps the other way.
Oh, so you actually masturbate when he's in the bed with you?
Every so often.
Yeah, I've done that quietly a couple of times.
It's kind of hot because then I'll look over at him and be like, this is hot.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
I'm really good at still masturbating because sometimes my dog will be in my bed and I don't want him to wake up. So it's not like I feel, it's just like he'll start sniffing my crotch.
Right.
Ew.
Dogs love that smell though. That's your main owner smell is your pussy or your dick.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like after
dogs are freaks.
Yeah, like after I have sex, like he'll come in and just go. He'll find whatever spot that he will really give it a 1-2. Dogs are fun.
Yeah, that is so funny. That's crazy. But yeah, masturbate. I do it in the shower. You know, I do it.
I can't use a shower head.
We just have good pressure.
Oh wow! Yeah, I've never. Hmm. Yeah, it's never worked for me.
Yeah,
I'm just like Hitachi lawnmower vibrator. Yeah,
I have like a little one, but I've kind of been like off vibrators for a little bit because I don't know if I just like overstayed my welcome with them.
Yeah,
but I've been liking getting my mitts down there, you know, just get my own mitts down there. Give myself a little pat.
You're going to be a great mom.
Casey. Thank you very much.
Where can we find you online?
Online, Twitter, it's at Casey Balsham. But I'm not on there a lot. My drug of choice is Instagram. So
I love Instagram.
Yes. K space B C A S E F A C E B. which case is a
face
weird,
case face B.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a band name.
I apologize. I don't know what I was thinking when I joined.
You don't apologize at all.
You do whatever you need to do, girl. Yeah.
Case, do you want to promote anything? You have anything coming up you want to promote?
Let's see. Well, I'm gonna be at Atlanta at the end of September, the 20th, for the Red Clay Festival, which I'm excited to be out.
Good festival.
And I'll be in LA the week before, but those shows will be determined. But I'll put them on Instagram. So,
LA. Yeah, Casey is so funny. Highly recommend going to see her if you have the chance.
So fun to talk to you.
Thanks. And this was fun.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks,
I feel like I know a lot more about you now.
There's a lot going on.
This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We will talk to you next Friday.
Show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that enables you to improve your mental health from anywhere at any time. Get matched with a licensed therapist from over 2,000 choices and message them whenever you need to. No commutes and no judgments. For a special offer for our listeners, visit Talkspace.com/GWF and use code GWF to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. Talkspace, it's therapy for how we live today.